Krishna. Then the quantum leap from mind to no mind. Talks given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 13.
Beloved Bhagwan, Hari Kujo needed to select a monk to be the master of a new monastery that was to be established on the mountain of Tao Chiu Shan. He called the cook of his monastery and told him he had been chosen. But the chief monk overheard Hari Kujo's conversation with the cook and said, "No one can say that the cook monk is better than the chief monk." So Hari Kujo called all the monks together and told them the situation. He said that anyone who gave the correct answer to his question would be a candidate for the position in the new monastery. Hari Kujo then pointed to a water pitcher standing on the floor and said, "Without telling me its name, tell me what it is." The chief monk said, "You cannot call it a wooden shoe." When no one else answered, Hari Kujo turned to the cook. The cook stepped forward, tipped over the pitcher with his foot, and then left the room. Hari Kujo smiled and said, "The chief monk lost." The cook monk was made head of the monastery and lived there many years, teaching more than 1,000 monks in Zen. In another incident, Kentashai, a Confucian scholar, asked Daiten, who had a monastery in the Plains of Exile, "How old are you?" Daiten held out his rosary and said, "Do you understand?" Kentashai said, "No, I cannot understand." Daiten replied, "In the daytime there are 108 beads, and at night there are also 108. Kentashai was very much displeased because he could not understand this old monk, and he returned home. At home, his wife asked, "What makes you so displeased?" The scholar then told his wife all that had happened. "Why not go back to the monastery and ask the old monk what he meant?" his wife suggested. Next day, early in the morning, Kentashai went to the monastery, where he met the chief monk at the gate. "Why are you so early?" the chief monk asked. "I wish to see your master and question him," Kentashai answered. "What is your business with him?" the chief monk asked. So the Confucian repeated his story. "Why don't you ask me?" the chief monk inquired. Kentashai then asked, "What does 108 beads in the daytime and 108 beads at night mean?" The chief monk clicked his teeth 3 times. At last, Kentashai met Daiten and once more asked his question, whereupon the master clicked his teeth 3 times. "I know," said the Confucian, "all Buddhism is alike. A few moments ago, I met the chief monk at the gate and asked him the same question, and he answered me in the same way." Daiten called the chief monk and said, "I understand you showed him Buddhism a few minutes ago. Is it true?" "Yes," answered the chief monk. Daiten struck the chief monk and immediately expelled him from the monastery.
Amanita. There are things which mind is naturally incapable of understanding. The mind has limitations, but our ego does not want to accept the limitations of the mind. Every sense has its own limitation. You cannot see with your ears. And you cannot hear with your eyes. In the same way, you can see objects with the mind, but you cannot see the beyond, the formless, with the mind. To the mind it will look absurd. Just as to the blind man light is absurd, to the deaf no music exists in the world. Those who have become too much identified with the mind, and unfortunately all the civilizations and cultures that have existed in the world have enforced and reinforced the mind. Zen is alone and unique. It points beyond the mind. So remember not to try to understand rationally, intelligently. Only in deep meditation and silence you will be able to feel the significance of these small anecdotes. They have something hidden in them, but it is not possible for the mind to figure it out. Put the mind aside and suddenly you can see the truth, which mind was blocking. As far as Zen is concerned, mind is a block to reality. Except mind, nobody is hindering you declaring your Buddhahood this very moment. Hayakujo, a great Zen master, needed to select a monk to be the master of a new monastery that was to be established on the mountain of Takuisan. He called the cook of his monastery and told him he had been chosen. Before I proceed, I have to say something about the cook. Otherwise, you will not be able to understand the whole story. This cook as a young man has entered the monastery 30 years before, this accident, when he was called by the master, 30 years before he had entered and asked the master Hayakujo, "I don't know what I am searching, I don't know the question, hence I cannot ask anything. If you, out of your compassion, can show me the way, I will be infinitely grateful." Hayakujo's monastery had 1,000 monks, great scholars, intellectuals, philosophers. The poor man who had come said, "All that I can do is cook. I am uneducated. The master said, "There is no problem. You start cooking. Just remember one thing. Never come again to me. Whenever I need, I will call you. Don't ask anyone anything. Just remain like a shadow working in China and Japan. Rice is the main food. The cook was preparing rice for 1,000 monks. He will get early in the morning and will go late night to bed. There was no time, neither he had any question. Just think, 30 years, cleaning rice, cooking rice, he completely became silent. He was not doing any meditation, but the mind was not needed. His work was so simple that mind retired on its own. People even had forgotten that there is a monk who never comes to the assembly, who never asks anything, who never reads any sutra. People have no idea even what is his name, because he has never told anybody. Nobody has asked, even the master has not asked. This was for the first time he was called and told that he had been chosen to be the head of a new monastery that is being opened on a nearby mountain. The master was watching for 30 years as the man became silent. His whole aura, his whole energy started showing the same light that surrounds the Buddha. There is no need. The master was waiting for the right time. He called the cook and said that you are to be the chief of the new monastery. Amongst 1,000 scholars, choosing the cook who knows nothing about Buddhism, who knows nothing about meditation, who knows nothing at all, but the chief monk, Ayakuyu's monastery of 1,000 monks had one chief monk for day-to-day affairs. When he overheard Hayakujo's conversation with the cook and said, no one can say that the cook monk is better than the chief monk. I am the chief. And this is such a stupidity that the cook is going to become the head of a great monastery on the mountain. So Hayakujo called all the monks together and told them the situation. He said that anyone who gave the correct answer to his question would be a candidate for the position in the new monastery. Ayakujo then pointed to a water pitcher standing on the floor and said, without telling me its name, tell me what it is. The chief monk said, you cannot call it a wooden soup. This was not accepted. It said nothing about the water pitcher. When no one else answered, Hayakujo turned to the cook. The cook stepped forward, tipped over the pitcher with his foot, and then left the room. Hayakujo smiled and said, the chief monk laughed. Because the cook has said everything about the pitcher without uttering a single word. And he did not even wait whether he is chosen or not. such unconcern for position, for power, only such a man can be chosen to be the chief of a monastery where people are going to meditate. The cook monk was made head of the monastery and lived there many years, teaching more than 1,000 monks in Zen. It has been a wonder in the Zen tradition how the cook managed. He was absolutely uneducated. All that he has done his whole life was cooking. And he managed to teach Zen to 1,000 monks. The anecdote simply indicates that Zen is not an education. It is an experience. It is available to all, the uneducated, the educated, the young, the old, the Brahmin, the Sudra. It is available to all if you can become silent. The cook knew only how to be silent. He has become silent. And he helped other people just to do the work you are doing. The way I have been cooking for 30 years, whatever you choose in the monastery, do it with your totality. Here there is no question, answer, no scholarship. Just do the act with your totality and continue and wait for the right time. And the flower blossoms, and the rain comes, and the sun rises, and the birds sing. Just like this, absolutely naturally, silence, it sprouts within you, brings flowers of the unknown, fills you with immense fulfillment. You know, although you cannot say a single word about, you experience, but you have no explanation. Life is a mystery. That is the very essence of Zen. Dhyatain replied, in another incident, when Kantashi, a Confucian scholar, again I have to say something about Confucius. He is certainly nothing but confusion. His name absolutely gives the explanation about himself. He was a great scholar, perhaps the greatest that China has produced, and the most influential man in China's whole history. He was contemporary of Lao Tzu. And many of his students, he has thousands of his students, he was really a great intellect. He created the whole Chinese logic. He made all the social rules, ethos, morality. He managed the Chinese politics, taught the kings and princes how to rule. He was a great man in every way. But his students many times told him that a great desire arises in us. You should meet Lao Tzu. He was unknown. A very small group of dropouts followed him. He was such a strange fellow that no straightforward man was even going to be close to him. He had his own way, which finally merged with Bodhidharma. Zen is the product between Bodhidharma and Lao Tzu. It is a cross breed. Lao Tzu created great disciples like Chuang Tzu and Li Tzu, but he could not create a religion. He was against any organization. And he could not create scriptures because he was against saying something which cannot be said. But still, people felt that that man has experienced something which we are missing, because he is so content, such grace, such beauty. The disciples of Confucius told him that he is by chance staying nearby in a cave by the side of the river, It is a great chance if you both meet. We would love to see what transpires. It was below the ego of Confucius, but because again and again he was asked, he finally said, "Okay, I am coming. I will see who is this fellow." But he was afraid also. Every knowledgeable person is afraid because basically he knows all his knowledge is borrowed. If an authentic person comes in front, he will be standing absolutely naked, all his clothes will drop off. He was afraid that Lao Tzu may be a dangerous experience. So he told his disciples to wait outside the cave. First he will go alone. Get acquainted with Lao Tzu and then he will come out and take all the disciples in to meet Lao Tzu. Within few seconds he came out perspiring and told his disciples, "We are not going to see him again. And never ask me again. That man is dangerous, very dangerous. He is not a man but a dragon. Never even touch his shadow." What has transpired in that cave? What Lao Tzu did to Confucius? Just the same that happens when you encounter a lion. Lao Tzu was not a man of social conformity. He was not orthodox. He did not believe in any religion. He did not believe in any gods. He did not believe in any morality. He told Confucius that you are confused and you are confusing others. First, get totally conscious of your own being. That he calls Tao. That is what Buddha calls Dhamma. We can call the truth, the ultimate truth. First become acquainted with your inner nature. And then talk about right and wrong and all kinds of nonsense that you are doing. It is good that you have come, because I was thinking one day to come and hit you on your head. Confucius could not say a single word because everything was right. He had no idea who he is. standing bare naked before the disciples of Lao Tzu, he felt very much ashamed. He started perspiring. Lao Tzu shouted at him, "Get out if you cannot get in." He escaped out immediately to his disciples, where he was a great man, a great scholar. Even kings were his followers. He told his disciples, "Never, never come across this fellow. He will destroy you. He will take away your personality. He will leave you utterly innocent, while education is needed, culture is needed, civilization is needed. That man is absolutely against any education, any civilization, any culture. He wants only freedom and spiritual growth. This incident happened between Kantasi, a Confucian scholar, and Date, a Zen master. Kantasi asked the Zen master, "How old are you?" There was a period of silence. Date looked into the eyes of the Confucian scholar. Held out his rosary and said, "Do you understand?" Kantasi said, "No, I cannot understand." Date replied, "In the daytime there are 108 bees, and at night there are also 108. Kantasi was very much displeased because he could not understand this old monk, and he returned home. At home his wife asked, "What makes you so displeased?" The scholar then told his wife all that has happened. "Why not go back to the monastery and ask the old monk what he means?" His wife suggested. Next day, early in the morning, Kantasi went to the monastery, where he met the chief monk at the gate. "Why are you so early?" the chief monk asked. "I wish to see your master and question him." Kantasi answers, "What is your business with him?" The chief monk asked. So the Confucian replied his story. "Why don't you ask me?" The chief monk inquires. Kantasi then said, What does 108 beats in the daytime and 108 beats at night time mean? The chief monk clicked his teeth 3 times. At last Kantashi met Datin and once more asked his question, whereupon the master clicked his teeth 3 times. I know, said the Confucian, all Buddhism is alike. A few moments ago I met the chief monk at the gate and asked him the same question, and he answered me the same way. Datin called the chief monk and said, I understand you showed him Buddhism a few minutes ago. Is it true? Yes, answered the chief monk. Datin struck the chief monk and immediately expelled him from the monastery. This has been asked again and again in the history of Zen. What transpires? First, the master has said that to be the same in the day and in the night, to be the same in suffering and in rejoicing, to be the same when young or when old, to be the same when alive and when dead. That was his meaning of saying the rosary, which remains the same whether it is day or night. The question is that the chief monk of the monastery also answers in the same way. The next time when the Confucian scholar came, the chief monk was on the gate. He clicked his teeth 3 times. The Confucian scholar was even more confused. First he had come to ask, what does it mean by saying a rosary and saying that it remains the same in the night and in the day? And now this chief monk has given him another trouble. He clicked his teeth 3 times. But he did not take his answer. He wanted to ask the master himself. The master also clicked the teeth 3 times. Clicking the teeth 3 times is a symbol in Zen that you can go on asking, it does not matter One mystery will be answered by another mystery. Now clicking three times, again giving you a chance to put the mind aside and just listen to the clicking of the teeth. The master is saying that all philosophy, all questions, all answers are nothing but clicking of teeth. Stop all this nonsense. But he said that means that the Buddhism is the same. He cannot put his mind aside. What is Buddhism in it? Neither the rosary is Buddhist, nor its being the same in day and night. And what is Buddhist in clicking your teeth? But because the chief monk has also clicked his mind, the scholarly mind concludes that it seems these both people are saying that Buddhism is the same everywhere. When he says, I know all Buddhism is alike, a few moments ago I met the chief monk at the gate and asked him the question, and he answered me the same way. Datem called the chief monk and said, I understand you showed him Buddhism a few moments ago. Is it true? Yes, answered the chief. Datin struck the chief monk and immediately expelled him from the monastery. The question has been asked why the chief monk was expelled from the monastery. His education is complete. Zen has his own way of certifying. He has graduated. You can never take Zen for granted. Every Zen master has his own way. That was his way of telling to him that now there is no need to be here. Get out. You have graduated. Now you know. So why waste time and place? Give the place to somebody else, some other novice, some other seeker, and you go and spread what you have understood. This expulsion is not ordinary expulsion. This expulsion is a certificate. Zen is so strange in his way. When it wants to appreciate, it hits, it beats. But its whole effort is to open you up to the unknown no mind. Once you experience the silence of your being, there is nothing more to be learned, nothing more to be gained, nothing more to be known, nowhere to go. Just a laugh that you have been such an idiot searching for yourself, and you have been always in, and you were searching all over the world. Manisha's question is, beloved Bhagwan, it really seems that for the first time those of us who are with you are not setting up any kind of spiritual or organizational hierarchy. There is just you and us, and even that division disappears in the silence here each evening. Manisha, I have not been here for 35 years. And in this absence of 35 years, I have been trying everybody to be as absent as I am. Because in this absence, I have known the greatest ecstasy, and I have known life in its pure essence. And without any reason and rhyme, just as flowers blossom and spread their fragrance, there is no effort in it. Without any effort, I have been sharing myself to anyone who by chance has come across me. I am not and I want you also to be not. The more you are, the more you will suffer. The more you are, the more you are in hell. If you want to be more, go to Europe and do Fischer Hoffman therapy. That leads you directly to hell. Its whole effort is to make you more, stronger, to give you a personality. Here my whole work is anti-Fischer Hoffman. I want you to be nobody, nothing, just a silence. Because in this silence only Buddhas have blossomed. Every day you have some seed. one day suddenly this field will become your very breathing, your very beating of the heart. I declare this assembly to be the most blessed on the earth at this moment. Everywhere there are clicking of teeth. This is small assembly of seekers is moving in a totally different dimension than the mind. It is moving in the dimension of no thought, no feeling, no emotion, just pure nothingness. Once you have attained to pure nothingness, you have found the dance of the universal, of the eternal. You have found the meaning of life. There is no other way to find the significance and the fragrance of your own being. Before we enter into our silence, into the very essence of Zen, the bamboos are silent, waiting for a few laughter from you. Chetana just informed me yesterday that since these meditations, this silence and these laughters have begun, the bamboos have grown so much new sprouts have come. Just for these bamboos, particularly for the new ones, the famous Indian driver Rambo Rickshaw is chewing fun and hanging out at the Kit Kit restaurant. Suddenly, Swami herself comes running up, quick, says herself, "I'm sick. Do you know where Ruby Hall is? How are you?" says Rambo Rickshaw. "What is your country?" "Please, I am ill." "Please herself. Do you know Ruby Hall?" "Where you are going? England?" "Are you England man?" asked Rambo. "Help!" moans herself, turning a little green. "Ruby Hall." airport going? No problem, says Rembo. Quickly, gets herself lying in the back seat. Can you take me to, where are you going? Says Rembo, Germany? Are you Germany man? Groans herself, MG Road, shopping, change money, ask Rembo Riksha, no, Ruby Hall, gag herself, Ruby Hall, that is hospital, you are sick? Says Rembo, Jesus Christ, as herself, you are American. Smiles Rembo, I know California. You want Pune, tours? No, cries herself, I want fucking Ruby Hall. Fucking who? Charles Rembo. No, get out. No fucking here. One Saturday night, George ends up at a party in an unfamiliar apartment building. He gets very drunk, but somehow finds his way home in the small hours of morning. He wakes up the next afternoon with a terrible hangover, and he realizes that he has left his jacket, tie, shirt and shoes at the party. With much difficulty, he finds the apartment building, but has no idea which apartment he had been in. The only thing he remembers is that he had a magnificent gold toilet. So he knocks at the first apartment. The door is answered by a man with a hangover. Hello, says Jar, did you have a party here last night? We sure did, groans the man. And do you have a gold toilet? Asks Jar, a gold toilet? We sure don't have, replies the man. This happens in almost every apartment. Everyone is recovering from the party, but no one knows anything about a gold toilet. At the last apartment, the door is opened by a man with a hangover. Hello, says Jar, did you have a party last night? Boy, we sure did, groans the man. And do you have a gold toilet? Asks the jar. There is a long silence. Finally, the man shouts back into the apartment, hey Harry, here is the guy who sits in your tuba. Is speaking to Moses on the mountain, and Moses is shaking his head in disbelief with his face upturned towards heaven, Moses says, now let me get this straight. God, you are telling me that we are the chosen people. And so you want us to cut off the tips of what? Let God figure out obviously he cannot use a dirty word. He is in a same difficulty as Jay. He knows what it is, but he cannot say. The first drum and everybody goes crazy. Everyone becomes silent. Close your eyes. No movement. Just go in. Deeper and deeper. You don't have to lose anything. You can only find yourself. This is the way that leads to your ultimate destiny. This is the quantum leap from mind to no mind. Just to be. Mm. rupees. Everyone die completely. Body continues breathing, no harm. You just go in. At the most, you may not return. But don't hesitate, because ahead of you is eternity. Just a moment. A jump. From the mortal into the immortal. Come back to life, resurrected, new. Let the past die. So that you can be unburdened, light. And you can have wings to fly. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, of course.
Can we celebrate? For those who have resurrected.